This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Well, good morning. This is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and it is Friday morning, the 26th of April, and yeah, you can tell this. It really is me. This is Scott, but I'm just losing my voice. I think I mentioned yesterday that, oh boy, I was starting to get a little bit of tickle in my throat. It's not cold or anything. I feel fine, no headache, but just some allergies, I guess, up here. I don't know. So hopefully, as I'm talking to people today, oh boy, this sounds funny. As I'm talking to people today, I'm going to let them do most of the talking. And so one of the things we said yesterday that I like to do, of course, is to talk to Mark D'Souza. Aside from being one of the most knowledgeable guys, he also can pronounce everyone's name properly.
And we have some challenges.
Yes, and because when you're looking at 21 countries and, five continents, you've got a lot of people whose names are different. Yeah. So we're going to just kind of do a recap over here of some of the shows we had then yesterday.
Yeah, good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Mark.
Well, the day started off with a lecture that a lot of people didn't know the guy. He's a French magician named Olmac, mm-hmm. O-L-M-A-C, and good-looking magician from France who does card magic primarily, very visual stuff. He is a FISM winner, previous FISM winner, and I heard nothing but raves about the lecture. I thought he had some excellent material. He had especially had some great stuff with a particular move that he calls the wow move, and it's based on the Cardini color change, but he doesn't use it for that. He uses it for a variety of different controls, and boy, this thing is a versatile move, and he shows a lot of uses for it, but he had a lot of other card work and some coin work that was really nice as well, nice visual coin work.
That card move, as I recall, that Danny Garcia's got something that's kind of similar to that.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, yes, yeah. And there's a lot of guys that explored this, but I think Olmac's really taken it farther than anybody, and he particularly had this thing that's really a replacement for a double lift that is just amazing.
It is.
And when you see how it works, you're like, how can that work? But it does.
That's why they say, wow.
Yeah, and when you get the timing just right and the angles just right, it's really, really superb.
Yeah.
So then 1:30 we had the Friends Old and New Show, which is emceed by Gary Morton, one of the stalwarts of Fectors. He's been here. This is his 26th time here. The show opened with Spain's Miguel Ajo, who had been here, I guess, last year. He is a FISM Europe winner. He's a Spanish Grand Prix winner. And you watch the act, you understand why. Very clever, very, you know, European-style act, but it was, you know, all patter. It was not to music. And the base of it was, he called it Dreaming in Color, and he had he calls checkers. They're like brass poker chips. They change from white to colors, and then the cards began changing from white to colors. He does a thing with a Rubik's Cube that he calls the moron's Rubik's Cube. It's all white, and he just tosses it in the air, and it becomes a real Rubik's Cube. And it's just astounding. It's a great-looking effect. Really, really nice. Next guy was Mike Spade from Jersey. Mike is a jeweler and magician. And
is he a jeweler?
He is. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, he had a lot of bling.
He had a lot of bling, a lot of magic bling.
Yeah.
So,
with the last name Spade, everything was Spade.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And a hell of a nice guy.
Yeah.
And he did a version of a Jumbo Monty routine that I think was Tanti, which is Tano Nasaka's. And he did a card to box, but he had this thing where it was signed by himself and the spectator, and the card visually changes to a bill, which he gives to the guy. And then the card is in the box that he's holding, which was a nice idea.
Yeah.
Stephen Himmel from California.
That we were just talking about yesterday.
We were talking about yesterday, responsible for the funniest line of last year's convention. And he did a really ramped up version of Sawa's slot machine. But he had a couple problems coming out with some of the stuff spilling. It was a shame. But
he picked up and moved on.
He did. Yeah. He did. And a very clever routine. Really great idea. And you know, I think if he keeps working at it, that's going to be a heck of a working piece. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chris Westfall from Canada followed him. Chris is a Second City grad doing improv. He's released a couple of things.
Kind of remind me of Jay Sankey.
A little bit. Well, because he's short. No, he's a Jay Sankey with a beard.
Yeah. I think Jay's got a beard occasionally.
You know, I guess he did.
A little scraggly. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, he did, you know, he did some nice magic. The best thing he did was this, he has a coin sign placed in with a bunch of other coins in the glass. And he tosses them in the air and reaches in and grabs the sign coin out of the air. Mm-hmm. I can imagine that would be a great effect for layman. That's really, really good. One of your Texas boys, John Dollinger, followed him. John always
winner.
Does. Oh, my God. He's won TOM twice, I think.
Yeah, and this was his third time performing, so he's getting his doctor.
Oh, that's great.
We were talking about that also because he's a veterinarian. So,
now he's doctor,
double,
doctor.
Exactly, he's a double doctor.
and John's work is really, really enjoyable to watch.
It
he's
is.
Got a real clear, deliberate style, understated, but the magic is really splendid. And, you know, he did a two-card revelation combined with a color-changing card and a matching card and a wallet, which is a well-thought-out routine. But I thought the coin work he did was great. He did a three-phase matrix where he did a the standard four-card matrix with a reverse. Then he did a two-card matrix, and then he took the cards away and just did a chink-a-chink handling, which was really, really very nice. So, he did a great job. I always enjoy watching John. He was followed by Nojima from Japan, who was the 2012 winner of the Hakone competition in Japan. And Nojima's this ideas guy, brilliant ideas guy. And he showed a lot. He just had a lot of material. He had sandwich routine with a great kicker. He had just great card work and really clever and something different. He ended up with having a card selected, and he prints, turns blanks into the selected card, but it just keeps going and going and going until the entire deck is printed in this card that was selected. It was a nice routine.
Right.
He was followed by Jeff Christensen, who I'd never seen before, another Canadian guy, but Jeff's been writing a column for Vanish magazine. And, I think he kind of, showed that he follows what he writes about. And not a blockbuster routine, but very entertaining. He's got a really good style, very, very self-assured and just presents himself well. But it was a funny card revelation routine where he could not get the card right. And so he goes to his app. And the app is Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh, so funny.
Revealing the card. And it was Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah.
So the premise of though is this is a new deck from Card Shark. Well, Christian told me he had asked him to do the voiceover originally, and they weren't able to get together. He says, never mind, I found somebody else to do it. And it turns out to be Gilbert Gottfried. So that was pretty funny. That was pretty funny. Another Japanese magician, Hayafumi, who was the 2013 Hakone competition winner, was next, and he did a blank card and signature transposition, but then he brings out this chart of numbers, and he has numbers eliminated, and it's the standard matrix force thing, but they add the numbers up, and that's the prediction, and he opens the envelope, and that's the prediction. However, the number was 3180. And when you turn 3180 upside down, it reads OBI.
OBI.
And then he opens, he opens it up, and it's a picture of OBI O'Brien. So that was a really great thing that he'll never do again.
Yeah.
The show was finished by my evil twin, Eric DeCamps. Eric is a good friend for many, many years, and one of my favorite performers. And he did his version of two Ramsey classics, the triple transposition, which he does differently with the tissue paper, the transposition of a torn piece of paper and a whole piece of paper, and then the restoration of the entire piece of paper. And then he did his handling of coins to cylinder. Mm-hmm. And Eric has a masterful handling.
He does.
As
good presentation, as always.
Yeah, yeah.
So that wrapped up the...
The 1:30 show.
The 1:30 show.
And we didn't have much time before the next show, which was at 3:30, which is the Magical Moment Show, emceed by Joe Turner from Atlanta. And Joe's been here for a while, 15 years. Mike Mione, a terrific magician from Long Island, who has a show that he produces every month up there for the public. Mike is one of these, very humorous performers who's got a definitive style, and he did a whole routine with emojis and he had some great gags with it.
It was very funny.
Yeah, and
pretty original.
And a nice payoff. It was kind of like the almost like the baby gag or the UPC thing with a magic payoff. So you had an actual actual prediction that came out. China's Liu Xingzi followed him. Everybody's saying Zi. I'd not heard of this guy before. I'd never seen him. And terrific style, pretty brisk style of magic. And the whole routine was with a candy. He brings out this little tin with a candy, unwraps it, and it's a ball. Mm-hmm. And so now he's doing ball magic. So the balls multiply, then they begin changing colors. Then he does a matrix type effect with cards resting over them.
That the can where the balls were, the candy was, changed to four cards.
Exactly.
Basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he used the matrix.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So it was and it was a multi phase thing and pretty impossible looking. And it was reminiscent of the German magician who won FISM a few years ago who did it with dice.
With dice. Yeah. Because it would kind of slowly.
These didn't slowly go. You had to push them down, but and then they rose up by themselves sometimes.
That was it.
So yeah, very clever. And at the end, the it comes full circle. The cards turn back to the tin. All the balls vanish, and the last one turns to the candy that he puts back in the tin. So it was a nicely designed, great competition act. David Schwartz from New York followed him. David is. Really enjoyable performer. I love watching David work. He's a nice, relaxed performer, but his magic is superb. And he did a three-card revelation with a cue sheet given to a member of the audience who happened to be Eric DeCamps. And he would be doing something, you go, line, and Eric would have to read out the line printed on there. And those were the revelations of the card. So obviously it was not something he was peeking or anything. The revelations were made long beforehand. Mm-hmm. And it was a really nicely designed routine. My buddy Jeff Eline from Baltimore followed him. This was Jeff's first time at 4F, and he did a growing deck thing and followed with a card effect. It was good.
Yep.
Jeff does nice card work, but I think his wild coin routine at the end was the outstanding guy to his, his routine. And he handles coins beautifully, and this was a nice, very visual, very fair-looking wild coin routine.
Yeah. The wild coin routine, you think about a wild card routine because where he had the silver changed to gold coins basically in a cup.
Correct, yeah, silver to copper with silver dollar size coins.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Gina Mozzarella followed him from South Philly. And my buddy Danny Archer, who's one of my car mates coming up here. Danny's a Philly guy, one of the owners of the Smoke and Mirrors Theater. And, you know, it's funny, we went to see Larry Haas at the Smoke and Mirrors probably 3 weeks ago, and I hadn't seen Danny do Gino probably for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, he's come so far. I mean, the character is so fleshed out. It's so good. And, you know, he knows the character and knows what he can do. And it's very, very funny. And he did about a 20-minute set when we saw them. And my wife commented, who is a pretty tough critic, she said he was great. I said, I agree. He was terrific. So he did his version of the three-ball trick in his South Philly character and whatever quite well. He was followed by Martin Briasis from Argentina. Martin, again, wonderful card magician, but does other magic beautifully. He had a great act for the FISM competitions, beautiful stylistic stuff. He begins with his fire coins routine, which is absolutely beautiful, where he has a candle and he takes the flames off the candle. You see the flames in his hand and they become three coins. And he does a coin routine with those. He does a card routine it's a multiple sandwich routine that leads into a four ace production. He finished with a version of Maxi Twist, the card section.
Right. I haven't seen that in a long time. That's a good trick.
Yeah. And he's got a very different handling in the Maxi Twist. But his closing trick was a trick that he teaches in his lecture, assign coin to matchbox. And it's because we've seen him do it in the lecture, it's an improvement on the Doug Bennett coin and match book. Mm. But he does it with a matchbox. And his handling can be set up on the fly, and it's really quite a good trick. So
I was one of the volunteers who was holding the box. Then it was my coin that was signed. It ended up inside the paper.
Yeah,
yeah, it was good.
Yeah, terrific trick. He was followed by Al Chen from Taiwan. Al's been here a few times, and he did a multi-phase three-card Monty. That at times was, I think, a little confusing.
A little much.
Yeah. Show was finished by Think Nguyen. He lives in Belgium, but when you see him and hear him speak, you know he's not originally from Belgium.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've been seeing his stuff. Think has published a number of videos and downloads, and very clever thinker. And he did an oil and water routine that was had a little different theme. He's talking about bubbles, how the red cards are bubbles and they float to the top. Hmm. And he had a multi-phase oil and water routine with some great stuff in it. But the ending, where he kind of squeezes the deck and you see the red cards spring out of the deck, phase up. Oh, my gosh, this was incredible.
It's like an anti-ferro or something.
Kind of like that, but done with a squeezing action where the cards actually sprang out. So that was the 3:30 show last night.
And then after that was over, that's when we had a broken wand.
Right, yeah. We had the broken wand ceremony.
For Tom Black.
Tom Black passed away the first night, and it was very moving.
So stage crew that had worked with him backstage.
Exactly. Yeah,
did that
so they came out and did the broken wand, and I'll tell you, I saw a lot of guys were getting really choked up about that. Mm-hmm. It was apropos and very nice. And then last night at the 4S meeting, they had a toast to Tom's memory. So that was very nice too. So last evening there were no shows. There were two lectures. The first lecture was the guest of honor, Mike Powers. Mike released his brand new book, Tesseract, here, and did a lot of magic out of Tesseract. And it's a combination of mathematically based card magic, other method card magic, and then there's a bunch of stuff in it that's non-card magic. He didn't do any of that. He just did cards.
Yeah.
And showed a couple of older things, too. Some great ideas with his PM principle, PM Plus principle. He went over well. Went over well. Did a good lecture. Lasted about an hour and a half or so.
Yep.
And
let me just say, before it began, that his mother came out.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. I should have mentioned that. Yes. His mother, Myrtle came out and abused Steve Bargatze, which was vengeance for something Bargatze had done to Mike and Myrtle.
Yeah,
Myrtle was really Mike's wife, Maria Schweder, and she did a great job. And it was a very funny bit that she did. Very funny.
I thought that one line where she was saying something about being pregnant every time that he goes to a magic convention.
Oh, yeah.
What would you remember the line?
Yeah. It's you know, you imagine she says something about Mike's floozy wife.
Yes,
and it says.
Right.
Every
time he goes to a magic convention, she gets pregnant.
She gets pregnant. Maybe you should take her with next time. It's a very funny line. Very funny. And that was well appreciated. Yeah. Nice way to start that lecture.
And then later we closed out with Howard Hamburg.
Howard Hamburg.
With quintessential Howard, in which he was just talking about Vernon and Jennings and everybody else in between doing these amazing card tricks.
Yeah. You know, trick-wise he did, I think, maybe four effects, but... great effects. I mean, oh my gosh. And a couple of ideas thrown in here and there. So it really was half tricks, half stories. And Howard's got like the best stories.
He does. You know? It's great just to spend time with him, you know. And his personality during a lecture comes down as if that you are in a session with him. You
absolutely.
Know?
You feel like you're really there. And the best part, Howard, is you see Howard anywhere. You say, hey, can you show me or can you tell me about... And Howard loves nothing more than to just sit down, talk magic, do magic. He is like the best convention registrant you could have.
He really is because he's everywhere, always accessible. Doesn't matter if you're a kid or someone who's seasoned and done magic forever. He'll spend an equal amount of time with you as long as you want to spend.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I had there's a small group of guys in Philadelphia that used to get together at Third Monday Magic. And when we had our 10th anniversary, we decided we wanted to do something special for ourselves, and we brought Howard in.
That's awesome.
And we had an evening with Howard to ourselves. And then the next night, Howard lectured at my house.
Yeah.
But we had an evening to Howard ourselves, went out to dinner and just hung out and talked in session. And he's such a delight.
Well, after that was over, then kind of wrapping up the evening was the secret Society of Scotch Sippers, the 4S, which really this year was that Neil Sturton had turned into a bachelor party.
Exactly.
Neil was from Scotland.
Yes, and he had actually gotten married last week, but he decided to have his bachelor party here. And somebody made the joke that, you know, this is a great way to spend your honeymoon, leaving your wife home.
I put that on his Facebook, and he said, that's a great idea.
So leave your wife home and go to Fector's. Yeah. And I said, let's celebrate Neil's last 4F convention, or right. maybe his divorce.
Or
his
or
annulment.
That's right. Nice seeing you, Neil. I don't think you're going to be back.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I'm not a Scotch drinker, but I said, it's Neil. I got to come in. And, right. And I had, I said to Neil, which Scotch should I have? He said, I think you should drink this one. Try this one. Said, wow, that's really good. He said, okay, well, try this one. I probably ended up tasting, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12.
Well,
different...
there was that gentleman from Japan who brought the one
right,
from Fuji.
Right, Hidekimoto. There's a Scotch made in Japan.
Yeah.
And actually, he was telling me, Hide and I are buddies, and he said, there's one very famous Scotch. And he said, when I go to the bar, this is what I have. He said, I went to the store to buy it. You can't buy it.
I'll be.
You can't buy it. So he brought this one instead, which is a newer brand. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really something very different. It was.
Yeah, I asked him what it was, and he said, it's Fuji. He said, you've heard of the mountain, Fuji Mountain? I said, yeah. And he said, well, that's, because it's got a picture of the Fuji.
Exactly. That was, yeah. Exactly. But it was
really tasty. As you said, it had a brandy or something, kind of a taste.
Yeah. Yeah. And he said, yes, sweeter. There is brandy infused into it because mm-hmm. it's got a very thick, viscous.
But it was a malt. Taste. I mean, it was a single
malt. It was. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Never think about Scotch coming from Japan.
Exactly. Exactly. But then you had, guys like William Watt mm-hmm. brought a
Curacao
rum.
Or where is it?
Mauritius.
Mauritius, yeah.
Mauritius. So he brought a sugarcane rum from Mauritius.
Mm-hmm. Which is the great thing about the 4S. Everybody's supposed to be bringing some Scotch that people don't get a chance to taste other places.
Exactly.
From around the world. And it's really grown, fortunately or unfortunately. It used to be just about 10 or 12 of us, who were drinkers, Scotch. And then each year, I think this is probably about the 10th year, and it's really now it's the door's open for everybody.
Sure, sure. But it's a great thing. It's,
one more
unique event that to have at this convention. And it becomes just a real social evening.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, there's one thing you probably weren't privy to, which took place at the tail end of the 4S meeting. Some young guys came in and said, you got to come out and watch us. Come here. And we go into the big room, and there was a fellow on the first day who did a routine where he had these electroshock pads.
Yeah. Right. We talked about him yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a real machine. He didn't really use it, but he really does have one of those electroshock machines. Huh. I think it's called a TENS machine. Hmm. So they were putting it on guys and having them perform with getting these shocks.
How funny.
And it was hysterical. And they're going, turn it up. They had it up to the max.
Yeah.
And Nico Pieri from Argentina, he was doing his beautiful coin routine. And he's laughing through this whole thing. He's like, I can't do it. So then they convinced Sean to do it, mm-hmm. Sean Farquhar. And I said, it's time for me to go. I don't want to get tapped
you
for this one.
Next,
no,
yeah.
I'm not. Yeah. I'm not going to do this.
Finally turn it in. I mean, I was talking to Boris Wilde at breakfast this morning, and he was saying he finally went to bed about 2 o'clock, and there were a lot of people still.
Oh, yeah.
He went to bed early because he has to be on, I think, later.
Oh, yeah. He's doing the TED Talks.
Yeah, right.
Doing the tech talks.
Which, by the way, let's kind of, as we wrap up, what is on the agenda for today, Mr. Souza?
Oh, well, Scott, for the agenda today, at 11 o'clock, we have the Pat Page Memorial Workshop, which is run by Mike Powers. This year, the theme is Tricks in a Minute. So it's all tricks, quick tricks, that can be done in a minute or less. And we've got quite a lineup of people that are participating. There's a dozen people.
Wow.
That'll be teaching routines. A few years ago, Catalina and Christian Painter decided to do these TED Talk things, which are like 12 to 15 minute presentations on things that are not necessarily magic.
Not trick related. But
exactly, yeah. But somehow related. Last year's, I did the talk last year on Fred Capps, and Tom Black did a presentation on lockpicking and escapes, mm-hmm. which was amazing. Mm-hmm. But it's just all these different subjects. And this year we've got five different people doing, five different subjects that are all, important to think about and mm-hmm. to know about if you're of such a mind. And Boris will be talking about what it takes to compete at FISM.
Oh, good.
So that'll be fun. And then this afternoon we have the Friday Frolic Show, which is Steve Beam. And then tonight is the Gala Francais, which this year will be the French-themed show, but it's actually French or French-Canadian because it's being emceed by the Montreal Trio.
Yeah,
Michelle and Yannick and Mark Trudel. So that'll be a fun.
And then, of course, off the menu is going to be the Italian party.
Yes. Well, we last year they asked the Italian party to not operate the night of the Scotch.
Yeah, not in competition. Yeah.
So no competition. And Alain Iannone, who runs the Italian party, didn't arrive till after midnight on Wednesday. So there was no Wednesday party.
Yeah.
So tonight and tomorrow night.
So that's with limoncello and cheeses. And
exactly. But it's
awesome.
Going to be a little smaller fare because he's the only one that came over from Italy this year. Everybody else had stuff to
do. You know, it seemed to have gotten more calm over the past couple of years because the first one or two, it was a rave.
It was crazy.
Down-and-out rave. There was everything but foam on the floor, and I think there even may have been that, too. You know, it was crazy.
No, that was the kid from England who was doing the regurgitating. It wasn't foam on the floor.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Well, I told him, it's okay. I brought cheeses up from our good cheese place in Philadelphia.
DeBruno's.
Yeah, DeBruno. Mm-hmm. And so I've got reinforcements for him.
Well, thank you, Mark. And we'll pick us up tomorrow. And I'll narrow all the people who can tune back in and kind of hear a recap of today's. And then we will get together on Saturday night, actually, at the very end, to kind of recap the day's activities.
Exactly.
Because Sunday we're out of here.
We're done. We're done.
That's right.
We got an early drive back.
Brigadoon is going to be gone.
Look, we've got still two full days of this.
That's right.
We will revel in it.
I hope that the listeners are getting a lot out of this, you know, the details and everything. This is really great. Thank you very much. I'm glad you keep such copious notes and as well. So this is great.
Good. All right.
All right. So the Magic Word Podcast. That was Mark D'Souza. This is Scotty F. All right. Well, again, we're here on the day three of the convention, and we've got somebody who gave the opening night lecture, David Riegel. Hey there, David.
Hey.
And so it was a wonderful lecture, and I know that you're only given like an hour of time, you know, for doing the lecture.
O.B. O'Brien is very strict.
He was very strict, isn't
he? Yeah. He started me late, and then he still wanted me to end on time, which was sweet of him.
And yeah, that was too bad because he's like, well, I've also got this and this, and then I got these other kinds of things over there. It's like, I wish I had some time to really kind of talk more about those kinds of things. And so you got the book that you – sorry, some of the tricks you were doing and teaching were from your Approaching Magic. And you say this may be the last time we do these because you got a new book coming out.
I do, and it's been 10 years since Approaching Magic. And, you know, it's not like I had a big plan to then write another big book. But, you know – I've been doing the Carbonaro Effect for 5 years, and when we're off, I work at the Magic Castle, and I'm coming up with material. So I did have material. And
do you stay in Chicago when you're working and producing on that?
It depends where the production advantages are.
Okay.
The production company looks for incentives in different towns. We went to Atlanta for a while.
Yeah, and
it's been Chicago for the past couple of years. What I started doing with interpreting magic, I just wanted to interview some people, and people I just appreciated in magic, and I thought maybe I'll ask them about some effect
to get their perspective
that they like. If they're a performer, that they like performing. But I didn't interview just performers. I'd interview Jim Steinmeier or Angelo Carbone, who has come up with some of the most ingenious tenyo items, and that turned into finding out a little bit about them, a little bio information. By that I mean like a page or whatever.
Yeah.
And eventually, doing this for years, and actually flying places to this.
To go and talk to these people one-on-one rather than doing a Skype with them or something.
I thought, I'm interested in this. Maybe someone else would be interested.
Sure.
Maybe it would end up being a book of just talking to these people. But then, as years go by, you do amass some tricks and I have to be honest with you. I have to go to my own books to remember how to do certain tricks because, I like the process. That's my favorite part of magic, the process. So I'm always on to the next thing, and especially with card magic,
right.
Remembering, which packet you picked up and whatever. It has to be done. So part of my incentive to write books is so I can remember these tricks because I will pick up a prop and I know, I did this 30 times in the Magic Castle and not remember the routine.
Right.
I don't like that feeling.
No.
So part of it is for me, pure selfishness. Oh, now I can pick up my book and remember
and
how to
remind yourself what
here
you
are
did.
The beats.
That's a good
here's
idea.
How it works. But the other part is we all of us, you, me, and everyone we look at this convention, we all like to put something out there creatively. That's the business we're in.
Sure.
And we succeed and we fail. And
gotta try.
Most of us fail more than we succeed. And that's just the way it is. If you have one thing that sticks, people have careers based on one thing that's stuck.
Look at Cartoon, you know, by Dan Harlan.
Oh, yeah. Or song musicians have a one-hit wonder. We hear that's
right.
an expression.
Yeah.
And sometimes those one hits are fantastic. And you go,
true.
How is it possible that they had this and nothing else?
Nothing,
That's just the way things are. And TV writing, which is how I made my living since moving to L.A., is transitory. TV vanishes. If you've written for a show, it vanishes instantly.
Yeah.
But if you're lucky enough to write for a hit show, it lasts for a little while, but it's going to go away.
Eventually.
Oh, yeah.
Except in reruns, I guess. Or
what's that?
Except in reruns.
And even those will go away. I mean, even look at these big hit shows. How many people are going to be watching this show in 20 years? Almost nobody.
Yeah.
Almost nobody. But we like to think that we're going to put something out there that'll have legs. Well, for me, writing a magic book is entering that lottery.
Mm-hmm.
In TV, I don't think that lottery exists. I think everything vanishes. But with magic, one of the things I get from it is thinking, you know what? I'm entering a lottery where maybe in 50 years some kid will look at this book and go, hey, I'm going to do this
right.
trick.
Right.
And I know, you know, it's a frivolous thing, magic. But all entertainment is frivolous. It's things we don't actually need, and yet they're the biggest companies in the world.
Mm-hmm.
At home in a glass table, I have a Johnson Smith catalog from the early, I think, 1900s. It's 800 pages. It's hardbound.
Yeah.
And nowhere in that book, the size of a Bible, is there anything anyone truly needs.
Mm-hmm.
So this thing we call frivolous or frivolity, ironically, must not really be frivolous, because it must be a deep-seated thing. If the biggest companies in the world serve that, if you can make an 800-page book for a company that does nothing but that. And I don't think you have to be a genius to know why this thing that could be perceived as frivolous, like, you know, writing jokes or
right.
doing magic, why it really isn't frivolous. I think when we enjoy something that's, quote, frivolous, it's a statement of, you know, transcending the problems of life.
Right.
Everyone has problems in life, some more than others, but life is generally not, you know, a smooth sail all the way. But
nothing's guaranteed.
When we can appreciate something frivolous, we are, on some level, expressing our domination over these things that would hold us down otherwise.
And so when's the book going to be coming out, you think?
Certainly this year.
Okay. It'll be out by Christmas. Be a good Christmas.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It'll be out by then. And, I'm very excited about it.
Or Hanukkah, I guess.
And I should say, it's not just these interviews. It ended up being a book of a lot of material, including a lot of stand-up material, because I started doing a lot more of that in the last 10 years.
Are you thinking about going back out on a lecture tour maybe to help push this book?
I don't know. After traveling to do the Carbonaro TV show, I don't have anything to do with the lab show, you sort of end up feeling like, I don't want to travel for a little while.
Yeah. I'll stay home with the family for a while. Yeah. But if you had something to sell, then, you know, then that's maybe not. I know people have asked me about saying, hey, can you get David Riegel to go back out?
I love lecturing. The honest answer is my favorite thing I do in magic, because very often when you're a writer, it's a fairly solitary line of work. Either you're completely alone or with the same people. So getting out and being with people that, you know, seem to be happy to see me is very, very empowering. I love it.
Now, you don't come to the 4F very often. This is, how many of you come to these?
I've been to 8 or 9.
Have you? Okay, because it's kind of sporadic because of your schedule, I'm sure.
Well, also, I live on the wrong coast now, so it's
I have there are people from all over the world who make it a point to come here, too.
So
that's no excuse.
You're right about that.
Why would you come? What is it about the 4F that you like?
I love the people here.
Yeah.
The people here are just they have the right attitude about magic. And there's a real spirit of sharing, and it's not all about that weird sort of huffy one-upsmanship.
Not a good point. Yeah.
In some magic circles. You're just hanging, and everyone's telling funny stories about what happened when they traveled here or when they went there. And, yeah, you do want to try and fry people with a trick. Everyone does.
Sure.
But the great thing about 4F is the breadth of magic, you see. Mm-hmm. It's not all the same. I mean, there's always some of that in every magic convention. But there's a great breadth of magic. And
sharing, too.
Yeah, and this, as you said, this convention has people from all over the world. And when Obie puts on a show of just people from other parts of the globe, you realize just how American magicians are. No, these are very impressive shows.
Yeah, yeah.
And you see a wealth of interesting ideas.
Right.
And, you know, maybe it wasn't the whole act you love, but holy cow, that idea at that moment, you go, I'm glad I came to this convention.
Yeah,
there's always something. There's a lot of thinking people here.
Right, right. Well, David, thanks very much. Always good to share some time with you. I appreciate your comments and hope to see you coming back to 4F more regularly, too.
Yeah, me too.
Good. Well, good luck with the book. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was David Riegel, Scotty L. All right, Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast. Still struggling along here to try to bring you nothing but the finest of conversations. That is the best that I can do. So still bear with me, folks, today that I got an email from Dale Rabin, who had requested that I have, if I get a chance to talk with some people that he suggests, trying to get a hold of Steve Beam, and also more women who are here. Well, I think there are probably, maybe six women that are at this thing, and one of them here is Mandy Nico. Hey, Mandy, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Better than me.
Definitely, yes.
So yeah, you're over here from the UK, and so how long are you here? Did you come early? Are you going to stay late or what?
We flew into Toronto and had a little bit of a look around there, and then we're staying on for a couple of days afterwards.
Back in Toronto?
No, here. Here in cloudy Batavia and thereabouts, nearby.
Yeah. You're not going to stay here at the same hotel?
Yes, we are. Yes.
Was it 2-3 years ago when you and this is, I think, really kind of cool because it was, tell me about this because I actually, that was, I think, the year that Oscar was the guest of honor and I was working at Magic Castle and I couldn't come that year. So tell me about the magical event.
Well, today is actually our wedding anniversary because we got married, myself and my husband, Roger Nico, we got married at 4Fs. It was a big surprise. Nobody knew it was happening except Oscar, who is guest of honor that year, and also Joan had to know because we had to have it scheduled in.
Right.
So a wedding at 4F, which was a first.
And then Jimmy C was the officiant?
That's right, yes. So everybody thought we were going to do a magic act, and suddenly it was a wedding.
Were they thinking, perhaps, I mean, not just surprised, but it's like, hey, this is a hoax, this is just a gag?
I think so, but Boris was crying, Oscar a little bit crying, and Obi was definitely crying when he realized what was happening.
That was a first.
Pardon?
That was a first for the 4F, I'm sure.
Oh, definitely, yes, definitely a first, yes.
And so, at the time, Roger was living in New York, I think, isn't that right?
That's right, yes, he was living in upstate New York, and we had to, he relocated to England.
Yeah, and as I recall also, that he had some real problems trying to get over there for like a year. What was the problem?
The problem was he made a very minor error on his visa application, just one word wrong, and he was deported for... Well, it was nearly 8 months, so, but everything's fine now. So definitely, if anybody's thinking of getting a visa for the UK or the other way around, hire an immigration lawyer first time round. It's expensive, but the cheaper option and less stressful.
Yeah, in the long run. It's better in the long run to do it right the first time.
Definitely, yeah. Yes, definitely.
And during that time, did you come back also, or did you stay over there for 8 months and kind of back and forth, or what?
Well, it's one of those weird things where we really thought it was only going to take a few weeks to sort out. So we kept hanging on. So I think I came over once, and we met at the Genie convention in October. But we kept thinking, oh, he'll be back before Genie. Oh, he'll be back before Magic, you know, back before Magic Live, back before Genie. And then it wasn't. It was still carrying on. Then we thought he'd be back for Christmas, and he wasn't. Then we thought he'd be back for the New Year, and then he wasn't. So we actually had him on the iPad on the Christmas dinner table. On FaceTime, so he joined us via FaceTime for Christmas dinner.
Oh my! Not quite the same.
No, not quite the same. But it was like one of those things. Yeah. Yes.
And so, do you live in Bristol, or where do you?
Just between Bath and Stonehenge.
Okay.
So.
And is he getting citizenship, or with a visa? He has to come back and forth. He only can stay for a short time, or how does that work out? Actually,
he's got a working visa in the UK, which lasts for a few years, and then we have to renew it. And but it should all be fine this time.
Now, as far as the kind of magic, are you doing some performing over there then right now?
Well, I've got a couple of interesting twists. Actually, I've got some projects on the go, which are very unusual for me, but they do both involve performing. One is I've trained to become a wedding celebrant, and I can do weddings without magic, or I can be a magical celebrant if they like.
You're saying a celebrant. We call them an officiant, so that way you're going to be... You marry them legally that way, you're saying?
It's slightly different laws in the UK. Well, very different laws. In that to get married in the UK, I won't go into it on this because people will drop off to sleep. But basically, I perform the ceremony.
Okay.
So it's wonderful. And I've recently trained to do that. And then as well, I am doing some palm reading.
Really?
Yes, I am.
Ah, now, that sounds different. I mean, how'd you get involved in that?
It was a friend of mine, Joe Hoey, in Dublin, posted me a DVD, which was Palm Reading for Magicians.
Yeah.
And I don't usually watch DVDs. I like to read books. And I popped this DVD in when I had a moment, and I was just completely overwhelmed with it. And it bit me like a bug, as does magic bite you like a bug. And originally I thought I was going to be doing magic with the palm reading, but... Actually, I've done a lot of reading, a lot of research from some very old books, and I'm actually reading the lines on people's palms for real.
Do they have psychic fairs over there like they do here?
Yes, they do. I haven't done one yet. I'm just starting out, and I'm going under the name of Eva May.
Eva May, I like that. So are you going into people's homes or at parties or what?
Anything really. I can do private readings, but I'm aiming at hen parties, which we have a lot of over there. I think you call them bachelorette parties. And I've got a booking next month for a major event, a forces event, and the theme is The Greatest Showman. So I'll have my own room with a table, and people will come to me to have their palms read. So very excited about
it. I know that Halloween's a big thing over in the UK then also. You know, I guess because of Stonehenge and the druids and other kinds of things, and the witches, etc. So is that something that people actually believe in, or is it considered entertainment as far as palm reading?
I'm finding... Oh, people definitely believe in it. We're in the West Country. We're between Stonehenge. We're near Glastonbury. We're on lots of ley lines, and it's definitely a thing in the area we live in, most definitely.
So do you present it as serious, or do you give some sort of a disclaimer?
I will give a disclaimer in that all I'm doing is reading the lines on their hands, and how and the actions that they take for the rest of their lives and the rest of their days will depend on what happens next, because the lines on your hands actually do change as you mature. They're not the same as when you're born.
Right. And so whatever that might be happening is up, basically it's in their hands.
It definitely is. Yes, I might use that, Scott. Thank you. Yes, most definitely.
So there you go. Well, it sounds like that things are really going your way. That's good. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much. Lovely talking to you.
Good talking to you. So as we close, I just want to say happy anniversary to you.
Thank you.
It's a very special day. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Mandy Nico with Scotty out. Well, we just talked with Mandy Nico, who had actually gotten married here 4 years ago. And it seems like this always has some firsts, you know, for our convention. here at 4F. And one of the things that is interesting, I believe, too, is a friend of ours, Neil Sturton from Scotland, actually got married 2 weeks ago, and he posted that over on Facebook that he was getting married. And we were talking about the 4S, the Scotch sippers. And I said, well, it'd be a good time to have a kind of your bachelor party. So that's what you made it into. So I got Neil Sturton with me here. And hey, Neil.
How are you doing, Scott?
Fantastic. So congratulations, let me tell you, first of all.
Thank you so much. I thought, what better place to celebrate my new wedding to an absolutely wonderful woman than involve my 4F friends and family. And, yeah, we kind of hijacked the Scotch night last night, which was wonderful, as always. We had even more Scotch than in previous years.
Right.
Great drinks, made some new friends, celebrated with some old ones, and always some good card tricks as well.
It was a good time, and there were a lot of people there that who had a lot. They said they brought a lot of Scotch. There was one guy from Japan who had brought some, and I know different parts of the world as well, not just Scotland.
And this is right. So we had some Japanese whiskey, which I very much enjoyed, a little bit different. Some of the guys, we expanded the drinks range this year, so we had some rum from, I believe, Mauritius, and we had some rye, and we had some bourbon, and, you know, the more the merrier. I mean, Glenn does a wonderful job of pulling this together every year, and I'm really pleased he kind of let me in on it as well. It's good fun.
Well, it used to be, of course, there was such a very small group of people that would bring special scotches, and then it got so that more and more people were coming, and so it just grew and grew, which is great.
And you would have noticed that last night it got so busy, we spilled out into the main lobby as well, and there was guys sitting around everywhere. It felt like we took over a little bit last night. So it was a late one, but I woke up feeling nice and fresh this morning, so all of it worthwhile.
What time did you finally close it all down?
I left about 4 a.m. Some of the guys were still going at it. I know there was...
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. I was an early bird compared to some.
Now, I also got one of your mates over here from Scotland, our buddy also, Peter McLonican. Hey there, Peter.
Hey, Scotty.
Good to always see you, my friend. And I know you're not a Scotch drinker, but somebody's got to be a designated driver, even for the elevator.
I don't drive.
You can accompany people to their rooms, so this way they get to the right room.
I was already in my room. I was already in bed when he got back. I was a very early bird last night. I think it was 1 a.m. for me. I just got hit by tiredness.
It happens as you get older.
But I thought I'd made it to the time zone. I thought my body clock had finally made the time zone. You know, I was up really late a couple of nights ago, and that was great. Then last night, I hit the wall.
Are you rooming with Neil, or are you rooming with Jeff Williams?
Both. We're in a suite, so Neil and Jeff are in the bedroom, but I'm on the sofa bed. Which
so
is great.
Here's the deal. My new wife, Sonia, she said, you know, you can go to 4F, but you've got to make sure you're being looked after. And I said, don't worry. Every night, Jeff and Pete will spoon me and we'll sleep soundly and everybody wins. So we've still got to get a picture of that, Pete.
We need to do that. We need to get that picture for Sonia.
And also, let me have a copy of that and I'll post it on the blog as well.
We will. It'll be everywhere, but we'll get one to you. Don't worry, Scott.
That'll be fun. Well, thank you guys very much for coming. Now, Neil, this makes, number 10 for you or something?
Oh, goodness, no. So I'm still one of the new guys. This is number 4. This is the first year
I've
turned
up. Seems like
I've
known you almost as much as long as I have.
Feels like it, doesn't it? Yeah. This is the first year I've come along and not had to perform. Now, that meant the anxiety of having to perform wasn't there this year, but you also kind of missed that high because there's nothing better than getting up in front of a room of your peers, the guys you've read up, grown up listening to their podcasts, watching their DVDs, reading their books, and you have to perform for them. That gives you a high unlike any other I've had before. So that was missing this year. But I'm going to throw my hat in the ring next year as well, maybe do the Pat Page workshop, something like that, yeah, just for a chance to get up in front of everybody again.
And Peter, how about you?
This is my 9th. I missed 2010, but then so did most of Northern Europe because of the unpronounceable Icelandic volcano. And I missed 2017. I just had other things going on at the time. Those are the only two that I've missed since. Thanks, Steve. yeah, that was Steve Beam introducing us. yeah, I missed 2017 just with other things going on. But this is my 9th trip to 4F, and I try not to miss it. I love every minute of this.
But, you know, I mean, it's not, like, easy here in the U.S. that we can fly over, you know, from one state to another. But you guys are coming from abroad across the pond over there. And is this really the only reason that you come to the U.S. each year, just for this?
Yeah. This is it. So normally Pete and I, as you say, it's a long way to come. So we try and tag on another trip somewhere else afterwards. But this year, given the way things have turned out in terms of the timings, turn up for 4F, go back home, and it's worth every minute of travel, absolutely.
Pete, I remember you used to go also to that other Jacks or Better or something up in Canada, some other convention you used to go to.
Well, last year I went to the Browsers Bash, which was great fun, thoroughly enjoyed it. And when they announced the date for this year, which was actually a week before I arrived, I sent them a wee message saying, oh, I wanted to go again. That's how much I enjoyed it. I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to give a little plug here, Scott. Next weekend, so that's the 3rd, 4th and 5th of May in Belfast, Northern Ireland, they have got the Irish Magic Convention going on, Belfast Magic Con, they're calling it. It's looking like a great little weekend. If you look for it on Facebook, type in Belfast Magic Con into Facebook and you'll be able to get all the details there. I'm plugging it because I'm doing a little piece on the Friday night show, and then I'm doing an extra pay late night workshop on one of the card pieces that I've been doing for many, many years, and something I've been closing with for a long time. It's looking at just being a fun weekend, kind of like this, but a little bit smaller.
Yeah, I was talking to Quentin Reynolds, you know, yesterday about that, and he was saying it's like about 100 people or so.
100, 150 people, something like that.
Fairly intimate.
Oh, yeah, very intimate. And it's the Scottish Magic Convention, the SAMS Convention, is actually this weekend. It started today. And both the Scottish and the Irish conventions are very much like family. You know, you go in, and this is very much like family. 4F is very much like family, which is wonderful. The smaller the convention, the more intimate it becomes, the more people you get to know.
As opposed to Blackpool, you're saying, hello, hey, how you doing? Hello, yeah, you're running all over.
See you later on, and that's all you see of a person for those 3 days.
Yeah.
The way I explain 4F to people at home is, I feel it's the closest that people from the UK, or out with the States, I should say, get to experience what it's like to be in a fraternity or something like that from the college, you know, from the American college system,
right.
Only without the hazing.
Well, maybe. You've been having to spend your nights with Jeff Williams, so that's enough hazing. You don't need any more than that.
That's a lot of fun. I mean,
that guy cracks us up. It's also, it rubs off on Pete and I as well. It's the only weekend of the year Pete and I find ourselves actually being somewhat funny, and it's just because Jeff rubs off on us.
it's a sort of osmosis thing.
Yeah, there you go.
You know.
Very good. Well, thank you guys very much. Always good to see you over here. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Neil Sturton and Peter McLonigan, both from Scotland. Cheers, mates. Scotty out. All right. Well, at the request of one of the listeners, Dale Rabin, who had asked that we go out and chat with some people who might be attending, one of them was he requested that I talk with Steve Beam, as well as women who are happy to be here. So I got a couple of ladies, so now it's my turn to talk to Steve, and here he is. Hey, Steve.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for letting me know which one I was.
That's why I want to clarify that.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And it's always great to have you as the MC, and you just finished here this afternoon of doing the, what is this called, the Old Timers Club or something?
This is the Friday Afternoon Frolics, yeah, okay. And yeah, I'm finished after this, yes.
And this is your 17th time of hosting that, you said? Or?
Oh, goodness, I said between 15 and 17 times hosting something, meaning either an event or a teacher trick or something. I've hosted for the last 15 to 17 years.
And you've been coming here for about how long?
29 years.
Okay, well, you're still a young guy. I mean, I'm like 35. So.
Well, you're the man. That's why I call you sir.
Well, yeah, Oh, that's why I got a beard. And I understand you got a new book out.
Oh, by coincidence, yes, I do. But I can't tell you that. They won't let me speak about that at 4F.
That's too bad.
But
I'd rather not talk about it here.
Okay, so I can't tell you that it's volume 11 of Semi-Automatic Card Tricks. I can't tell you that it's... I can't tell you it's 117 tricks. I can't tell you that it's 216 illustrations.
Nope, I don't want to know that.
Can I tell you that it's on sale at a special convention price that's the same as the online price, which is
$60? No, yeah, you can't say
I can't tell anything. So no. So they're going to have... What you're telling me is they're going to have to go to stevebeam.com to figure that out.
They will have to do that, you know, and even to figure out what the name of the book is.
Which might be, we're going to keep it our secret, Semi-Automatic Card Tricks, don't spread it, okay?
Don't tell anybody.
No, volume 11, don't tell.
It's an inside thing and nobody should know about this.
I'd prefer really we keep it tight. That's why this is an invitation-only thing, it's okay to mention it here.
Yeah, okay, well, people are invited to go and take a look at that.
Exactly, and would encourage them to do so. Right after they download a few podcasts and hit the contribute button.
There you go, I like that also. So this is number 17 of your books.
The number 11, number 11 of my books.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're planning on going 17.
No, I'm probably, I think number 12 is probably the end. And I think a friend of mine said nobody finishes anything on the number 11. And I thought that does make sense. So I've kind of already started.
13's good.
13, well, 13's a baker's dozen, which is kind of nice. But I think you're probably at 12.
Okay. The other books are about the same length. So it takes a pretty good size space on the shelf.
Absolutely. You know? In fact, it is the 5-foot bookshelf of magic, I think.
That one should have.
That one should have. Yeah, absolutely. I think Anneman was right when he said there are basically 5-foot bookshelf would be all you need, and this is the 5-foot bookshelf.
And what are some of the early ones still available?
In fact, all of them are. Yeah, what does that tell you? It tells you I'm not selling any. So I have them all, every one of them.
And some on PDF or not?
Not on PDF legally.
Okay.
Yes.
Then we can't talk about that either.
Right. Don't want to talk about that. Yeah. I mean, you really want to flip the pages, and frankly, you want to make like Joe Biden and sniff the hair on the pages and the leather.
Exactly.
That
you want to touch it.
Yeah, exactly. Feel it, massage it, rub it, do whatever you want.
That's right, which is what magic is all about, basically.
That's what I think.
Making love to the cards.
Exactly, and the book.
Yeah.
You got to have the book.
And the book. Well, you go to bed with the book. You know, you can read the book in bed.
Yeah, well, you one copy of the book, then you have another copy that's your shelf copy, then you have another copy that's the porcelain library copy. So you really need 3 copies of each book. So really, if you get 33 volumes, that's the 5-foot book.
Would it make a very good gift, do you think, for people?
You know, I think, I can't think of a nicer gift. In fact, I don't care if they're getting married. You know, we talked about the guy today getting married.
Yeah, Neil Sturton just, yeah.
Wouldn't that be great? I mean, I love this. 2 weeks ago, he gets married. Today, he's at 4F. I mean, does that take a pair the size of Jupiter or what? I mean, come on. Yeah, I think when he gets home, he's going to have the discussion. And you know what I mean by that? That's where you tell the wife what she's going to have to get rid of to make room for your recent magic purchases.
That's very good. How long does it take you when you start writing these things? Because I haven't seen you for a couple of days.
Right.
I've been assuming that whenever that you're writing some of the material for the ENMC, that you're bringing stuff with you, as opposed to like Steve Bergazzi and Rick Merrill are kind of taking ideas from what's happening here, and then they'll start writing for tomorrow night's show. But you have things you've already brought.
Yeah, actually, they took over closing the Saturday night show from me.
I used to
close the Saturday night show. And what I would do is show up here with basically an empty legal pad. And by the time Saturday night show was on, I had 20 minutes. And I would do 20 minutes. Then I ask off because I was spending all the time in the room writing the material and trying to watch the shows and write the material. So I ask off, Obie let me off, and I went ahead and hosted some other things. But then he put me on emceeing. And you can't really count on coming up with that many separate between-the-acts bits during a brief convention like this. So what I do is I show up with a fair amount already written, and then I supplement it. So, the reason you haven't seen me around is part of the time I'm in the room or we're at a restaurant writing stuff. Yeah.
So and now so, you're free, so you can kind of enjoy tonight and tomorrow.
I got the day off, baby. I mean, this is it. I'm when I say I'm finished, I'm finished.
Yeah,
probably washed up too. But for the rest of the time, I'm now just going to get to socialize and enjoy myself.
You don't attend a lot of conventions, do you?
More than I used to since I retired.
Have you actually retired?
Yeah.
I mean, you still look as young as I've ever known you.
Oh, well, thank you.
You still look like you're 45.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm 42, but okay.
There you go.
No, no, I actually retired about 5 years ago, and I'm having a blast. I'm going to, I guess, about 10 conventions this year.
Okay.
Yeah, so
including what? Name a few of the big
ones.
Let's
see. I just got back from Winter Carnival. I worked Abbott's close-up convention. I'm at 4F. That was the first 3 of the year. Then I'm going to the Magic Expo in Minneapolis in June.
That's the Penguin thing?
No, that's the Collectors
History
Conference.
Yeah, with David Sandy and that.
You're right,
exactly. That's going to be a good one, by the way.
That should be great.
I'd like to really push that for people to go and check it out.
I tell you what, I've had more fun at these history conferences. They're really amazing. I'm a card guy, and the only thing missing from them is card tricks. But other than that, they're great conventions, and they're just an absolute blast. I'm learning so much about something I've been doing literally for 50 years, but I'm learning it from a different angle, and I love it. And I've incorporated some of that knowledge and information into what I do, and it makes it a richer, I think, performance.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, let's see, in August I'm going to Magic Live.
Magic Live, see you there.
Yeah. Then I'm doing the European Magic History Conference also in August. And then in September, I think I'm off. In October, I'm going to Escorial, and I'm going to the Carl Lafong Gathering. And then in November, I'm doing Tricks in Charlotte. So it's, I think that's, I don't know if that's 10.
That's quite a few.
That's what I'm doing, yeah. So I'm really having a blast.
So I can see why you're not going to be writing another book anytime real soon.
Well, it's not so much that because, you know, I used to write the books when I was working a full 50, 60-hour week. Yeah. But no, it's I
yeah, but you own the company. You got people working for you.
Well, I didn't own it. I was CEO, but I didn't own it. But the other thing I think now is it's more difficult to get the discipline when you're retired. Hmm. You know, I mean, I still get up every morning at the same time I used to, and I go outside. I get dressed, and I go outside, and I wave to all the people who are going to work, you know, just because I think that makes their day.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I don't quite get that, because whenever I would get up at 9 o'clock, people are already at work, so I'm just waving like at the postman, you know.
Well, I say at the same time I used to. It may be a couple hours later, but and sometimes I wave from the bed.
Yeah.
But they know I'm there for
them. Spirit.
And I'm, yeah. And I'm backing them.
You're
and that's the important. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think that gives them the energy they need to go off and do a good day's work like I did
like
for so many years.
Exactly.
Thank you. But yeah, so I think it really is it's the discipline, because when you're retired, the first thing you get used to is the fact that really anything you want to do. I mean, I used to say the first thing that you do in the morning is decide what time are you going to get up. And then I thought about it. And actually, the first thing you decide is whether to get up, you know. So the discipline's
right.
A little harder to come by.
And what time are you going to take a nap? Is it going to be 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock, you know?
Or both, because the option's there.
Yeah.
But, no, I'm loving it. I'm getting to do more magic than I used to by far, and I'm having a blast.
That's great. And traveling a lot then, too.
Traveling a lot. And
is your wife going with you in a lot of these?
My wife does not fly. So,
really? So she meets you on the bus, right?
Yeah. Not, but she often walks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
so she's a skinny lady.
Yeah, well, you know, it's her exercise program. You do what you can. So
yeah.
It's working out real well for her.
All right.
No, she actually says, I mean, basically for her, she would no more go to a magic convention than I would to one of her hobbies. A convention of one of her hobbies. That's what she says.
Whatever it would be.
Yeah, she says, when you go to a convention, you're busy working and socializing and doing all that stuff. And she said, if I were there, you'd be constantly coming back to the room saying, are you okay?
Okay,
you want to do something? You want to come join us to eat? Or maybe I'll take you out and so on. So basically what we do is we take vacations around the conventions, separate from the conventions.
Yeah.
So I always do the family vacation.
Yeah,
the two of us and sometimes the family.
Yeah.
So, again, that's what retirement's for.
Exactly. All right, well, because they're lining up for dinner, and I don't want to miss
of course.
Whatever chicken they've got in there.
Of course. Yeah, so tomorrow morning you can do six chicken repeat. Yeah.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Steve Beam. This is Scotty out.
Thanks a lot.